The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here. Today
FM. I want to start with community pharmacist, former politician Kate O'Connell, because I understand that you and other pharmacists have been inundated with requests from young men and young women desperate to get a vaccine and that you don't have enough supplies for them.
Yes, it's been quite surprising. It's been a very challenging few weeks in community pharmacy trying to deal with the demand for vaccines. But also we were quite surprised, I think, and taken aback at the demand for it from younger cohort who are largely very well, generally don't seek out health services, but they have sought out vaccines in their droves from community pharmacy. They like the accessibility, they have confidence in the system, and the one and done element of the Johnson vaccine is preferable to many younger people, and so they get one shot and there's no need for a second booster shot unless that emerges later in the year or next year. So we've been very busy and we've had great success, and we're looking now to be able to provide all vaccines where there is supply available in the community pharmacy setting.
Because there is a shortage of the Janssen or Johnson & Johnson vaccine, isn't there?
There is indeed, and there will be more than likely a lag where supply that we are expecting in community pharmacy will run out, and we will not be vaccinating for a number of weeks. And we've really been successful in doing it. Many experienced vaccinators have led that across the country. And there is an endless supply of patients that are looking to have vaccines. And I think it's only right that every vaccine that is available to the Irish system is put into anybody's arm that's looking for a vaccine right now.
Do you think there would be the same demand amongst the sort of 20-somethings and 30-somethings for the two-shot Pfizer or AstraZeneca vaccine if that was going to be given out of pharmacists?
I think so. For many, and they may have particular reasons why there's a preference for an mRNA vaccine, and there's no reason why we can't provide it. I think at this stage, anybody that's unvaccinated, that's circulating in our community, needs a safe, accessible way to have a vaccine. They need to have confidence in it. But convenience is really, really important to the younger cohort, we're finding out.
Okay, but if they're one of the vaccines is now available, the HSE portal is open for the 18 to 34-year-olds. Would that not suggest that it can be done in the various vaccination centres now for that age group rather than having to depend on the pharmacies?
Absolutely. There's scope for it to be done in mass vaccination centres. But what we're finding is many younger people, they don't have cars, they're working, they'd have to take a few hours off or a day off work to go to a mass centre. I'm based largely in very congested parts of Dublin. So we have just endless amounts of young people available to us, and they can come to us if there's a spare shot or a cancellation. They're with us within 15 minutes, half an hour. So the convenience of the community pharmacy and the long opening hours in the city centre is proving to be very popular with younger people.
Stay on the line there, please, Kate. I want to bring in Professor of Immunovirology at University College Cork, Liam Fanning. Liam, the reports today that the numbers of positive cases at the walk-in test centres has gone up quite dramatically, that we're now seeing a situation whereby it's something like 25% positives on testings and in many counties at 10%. What do you make of that from the figures that the HSE is saying coming from the swabbing sites?
I'd say those figures are going to present considerable difficulties for the PCR testing capacity that we have in this country of about 20 to 22,000 per day. I think that's going to be very quickly overwhelmed. I suppose what it gives an indication to is what we've expected with Delta is that it is going to spread in those that are largely unvaccinated. And we know that's in the 19 to 24-year-old group where most of the infections are at the moment. So it's not a surprise. And I think the numbers are only going to get larger over the next 2 to 3 weeks. So I think this is a kind of a storm that's going to kind of get a little bit more anxious and more intense for those individuals who are waiting on test results.
Yeah, because Paul Reid's tweet also says that the more widespread the Delta is in the community, the more it can break through to those vaccinated. Why is that?
Well, I suppose that's because they're more going to get more exposure hits from an unvaccinated individual. It won't change the efficacy of the vaccine. It's just that the opportunity for an infected, unvaccinated individual to meet a vaccinated individual and for the opportunity to kind of breach that kind of 10% barrier with the mRNA vaccines or that 40% barrier, given the fact that the AstraZeneca vaccines give you about 60% protection from reinfection. So that 40% hit rate will come within the AstraZeneca's and about 10% for the Pfizer's. Just more opportunity, Matt, for an infected, unvaccinated individual to come across an individual who may not have a high enough quantity of antibodies to neutralise this virus, and therefore they become infected even though they have been vaccinated.
Now, Professor Liam Fanning, what do you make of the decision to ask people who were close contacts of confirmed COVID-19 cases to do DIY antigen testing with self-swabbing at home?
I think it's a great decision. It's a better late than never in this case. The one thing I'd say is that it's a pity that they wouldn't organise this through the postal system. I mean, you've individuals who are potentially infectious, either having to get, as you heard there from Kate, not everybody has a car, going to get transport to a testing centre to pick up their antigen test to do them at home. I think this could have been organised very effectively through the postal system, keep these individuals restricted until they get their four antigen tests at day 0, 5, 7 and 10.
Okay. And what about the use of PCR tests then? If they get a positive antigen test, they should get a PCR test, should they?
That's the guidelines currently. They should continue to restrict and they should get a PCR test. But the antigen tests themselves, they'll probably end up, you know, a non-detectable, a non-reactive, then positive. And then day 10, or if they have another one after that, they'll probably end up a non-reactive after that. So they'll see that curve of positivity coming in and then disappearing, indicating that they're no longer infectious. It doesn't mean that they won't be still virus positive. It just means that they'll be no longer likely to be infectious.
What do you reckon, though, the change in the attitude to antigen testing has been all about?
It's very disappointing it's come so late. I think this is, you know, a case that the dam is about to breach, and they've kind of said, well, look, our back is against the wall. We have had all that indication from the chair of NEFET that, you know, you might as well be using, and Philip Nolan using snake oil. I think it's very disingenuous to have come so late, but look, it is better late than never. I'm very disappointed it's taken so long, and I think in the, you know, in the cool light of day when we have our explorations to how the government handled this, I'd say this has been seen as one of the black marks that has taken so long to get to antigen testing and give it to the public. It could be still more widely available, Matt. I think, you know, we should have these as available as they are in Europe. You know, I have a friend who has a three-year-old going to creche in Germany, and that individual, their little son is tested once a week by antigen testing. So, look, we're so far behind the mark when it comes to antigen testing. This is better late than never, but by God, we have an awful lot to catch up with regards to the availability of antigen testing.
Professor Liam Fanning from UCC, thank you. Kate O'Connell, just one for you. Are chemists selling antigen testing packs? Because we've been hearing of supermarkets and other places doing so.
I've heard anecdotally of some chemists selling them. I'm not, but normally in circumstances where there are devices, the Pharmacy Society and the Pharmacy Union would issue guidelines on licensing and appropriate use. So usually those guidelines come there. Like that, I think it's a good thing that antigen tests are being deployed at this stage. Every barrier that we can find to put in the way of COVID has to be used now. I think that additional layer that antigen test provides, and I think with a huge positivity rate that we have now, it's the only way where people use an antigen test in the best, with the best possible practice as an added layer. Because with the positivity rate that we're seeing today, there's no way of doing it with PCR alone. So it's welcome, I think, in the fight against COVID, where we're at now in terms of the roadmap out of this.
Thank you very much for joining us. Kate O'Connell, community pharmacist.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today.